Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
And God is so good. So open your Bible to Nehemiah chapter 3. We're talking about lessons in leadership. And tonight we're talking about secrets of motivation. Nehemiah was an amazing person because he motivated people from different walks of life, men, women, different ages. And he motivated them to come together for a common purpose. Amen? Great things happen when we come together for a common purpose. Deuteronomy 32 verse 30 says, "How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord shut them up?" One can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000. Amen? How many of you are glad we can come together and accomplish more together than we can apart? Matthew 9, verse 36 says this, "But when he," speaking of Jesus, "saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Jesus was motivated by compassion. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 28 says this, "In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince." You know, if you think you're a leader and nobody's following, you're just out for a walk. All right. So Nehemiah was this amazing person, and he motivated all these people from far and near, men and women from all walks of life, to come together to accomplish the purpose of God and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So we're going to talk about a number of things, I believe, in Nehemiah chapter 3 that help keep people motivated. The first one is keep first things first. We've got to remember the cause. Why do we do all this? You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29, when all of the children of Israel were kind of shaking in their boots because of Goliath, David said, "Is there not a cause?" You know, we live for a cause that's larger than ourselves. And if we don't, we should. Amen? And so right here in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate and sanctified it and set up the doors of it unto the tower of Meah. They sanctified it unto the tower of Haniel." Now, why is this important? Well, the sheep gate. What is the first responsibility of godly leadership? Feed the sheep. You know, God wants the sheep to be taken care of. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. And Jesus, let's turn to John, look at John chapter 21. This is after his resurrection, after he had been crucified and then resurrected. The disciples had, you know, departed when he was crucified. But it says this in verse 15, as Jesus came back after he was raised from the dead, he's walking on the shores there of Galilee. And then he invited them. They were out fishing, and Jesus, you know, they went back to what they came out of. You know, it's so easy to go back. A lot of people do that. You know, if you focus on where you came out of, you'll go back to it. The Bible talks about this in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says, if they would have focused on the country they came out of, they might have had opportunity to return. You know, I heard people say, "Oh, the good old days," talking about when they served the devil. It wasn't good. The devil is not a good master. Amen? And I've seen people talk about, we don't want to go back, we want to go forward. But Jesus was there. When Peter saw him, he jumped out of the boat and came swimming to meet Jesus. And Jesus had a fish dinner fixed, and he ate with them. And Jesus said to Peter in verse 15 of John 21, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these?" He says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." He asked him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." Then he asked him again, the third time, "Simon, Son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said this the third time. Do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. In other words, I give up. And you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. The first priority of godly leadership is to feed the sheep. Peter, in his book, writes this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. You know, we're to do what God called us to do, not because somebody roped us, dragged us to the fire, so to speak, but because God has called us to do it, not by constraint, but we're to do it willingly. What's the second gate? If we go back to Nehemiah, these gates tell a story. Every gate had a specific purpose. And so the second gate they worked on, if you go to verse 3, it says, but the fish gate did the sons of Hassanah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. The fish gate. Why are we here? First of all, we take care of the sheep. You know, if you study ministry, did you know ministry starts if you study it? Because a lot of people say, go to the world, go to the world, go to the world. But you know, your first ministry is to Jesus. The Bible talks about ministering to the Lord twice as much as it talks about ministering to one another. Your second ministry is to other people in the body of Christ. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, as you have received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold, the many-sided grace of God. So your first ministry, you minister to Jesus. The second one is you get in a body and you get ministered to, because there you're built up. And when you minister to Jesus, you're built up so you can minister to one another in the body. And when you stay built up and ministered to in the body, then you go to the world. If you go to the world first, you don't go to the Lord first. You're not connected in a local body. You know what happens? You burn out. You run out of gas. You get tired. You get angry. You get bitter, because the world will eat you up and spit you out. But if you go to the Lord, you get built up. If you come and are a part of a good, healthy, local church family, you minister to one another, you get built up. Then you go to the world and you're built up and you have something to share. So the first priority is the sheep, but the second priority is the fish. Go fishing. Amen. What did Jesus tell the disciples? Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So why are we here? We're here to win the world. Mark 16. Listen, if we're not going to win the world, we might as well all go to heaven. But there's a world that needs winning. There's a world that needs Jesus. Praise God, we need to keep telling people about Jesus. Mark 16, verse 15 says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Signs follow believers. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, right? Deadly doctrines, different attacks, right? And he says, if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them, and they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Who lays hands on the sick and they recover? Believers. How many of you are believers? Praise the Lord. How many of you practicing what believers should be doing? Amen. We need to practice what the gospel says and then watch it work. Praise the Lord. So Matthew 28, Jesus said this. He said, all power, all authority, all dominion is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Make disciples of all nations. Right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. Now, if you look at that word baptize, that word baptize actually means to immerse into. Right? Immerse them into who the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are. So we're to go make disciples, teach them to obey, teach them to observe the Word of God. And the way that we do that is by teaching them, immersing them into who God is. Did you know God's good and He only does good? But a lot of people are mad at God because they don't really know who God is. And the reason they're mad at God is because they think God did something that God didn't do. But God is not the author of death, destruction, sickness, evil in any way, shape, or form. Because there's not only a God, there's an enemy, there's a devil. So it says, immerse them into who the Father is, into who the Son is, and the Holy Spirit is. Teaching them to observe the Word of God. Amen? So number one, we take care of the sheep, but number two, we go to the world. And what do? True ministry, again, begins with exalting Jesus, then edifying the body, and then evangelizing the world. Now, as we go down through here, we see another different aspect. In verse 6, it says they worked on the old gate. What does the old gate? All these gates mean something to me. The old gate, to me, talks about the foundations. How many of you know we need foundations? Psalm 11 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? So we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Right? We need the foundations, who God is, who Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is. We need the foundations of the truth of the Word of God. Then we go to the valley gate in verse 13. So what was the valley gate? It went out, right? And it talks about two things in the valley gate. The valley gate in verse 13 and the dung gate. But the valley gate went out to the valley of Hinnom. You know what that means? That's a really bad place. Okay? But you know, so there's sometimes you got to take things out, but you got to, you know, they go out to the, you know, maybe it's a bad place, but we move out of that low place. We move into a better place. And what's the dung gate? What happens if you never take out the trash? It stinks. You know, we had this church in Kit Carson. Our whole church was smaller than our chapel. It was 5,400 square feet. Okay? And we had church dinners. For a while, we did it once a month. Then we changed it once every quarter. But I found out really quick, if you don't take out the trash on church dinner day, when you come to church on Monday morning, it stinks really bad. So we cleaned up after every dinner and we took it outside. Amen. You got to take the trash out, right? So you got to keep, guess what? Sometimes we get trash built up in our life, even Pastor Lawson. We got to keep taking it out. Amen. But then there in verse 15, we see the fountain gate. Now, what's the fountain gate speak to me of? The fountain gate speaks to me of eternal life. It speaks of salvation. Jesus said in John 4, verse 14, whoever believes on me will in them have a well springing up to eternal life. When you're born again, you have a well springing up, bringing eternal life to you, ministering to life to you. You have a well of truth. You have a well of life on the inside of you. Did you know if you'll listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of you as a believer, it will protect you from the enemy's lies? I thank God for that. Amen? Then in verse 26, they had the water gate. What's the water gate? Not President Nixon. There's another water, right? Not only a well springing up, you can have a river flowing out of you. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just talking about, to me, that's what these things mean. These are foundations in our life if we're going to be strong for the Lord. Okay? Then there was a horse gate. What's the horse gate? What's a horse prepared? What's Job say? There's a horse, and he's prepared for the day of battle. How many of you know the battle belongs to the Lord? But there still are battles, and you got to be prepared. Amen? Then there's the East Gate. Have any of you ever been to Jerusalem? Have you seen the Eastern Gate? You know, if you look at the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem, what's happened? The Muslims built a cemetery in front of the Eastern Gate, and they filled it all full of stones. You know why? What's the prophecy about the Eastern Gate? Jesus is going to come set his feet on the Mount of Olives, go across the Valley of Jehoshaphat, right? He's going to go through the Eastern Gate. He's going to set up rule on planet Earth. Hallelujah. Yeah, and that's why the Muslims walled it up and put a cemetery there, because they don't want that to happen. But it's going to happen. And Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on planet Earth for 1,000 years of peace on Earth. So what's the Eastern Gate speak to us of? It speaks to hope. You don't want to lose your hope. Where's our hope? Our hope's in the gospel. Our hope's in Jesus. Amen? I'm glad Jesus is coming again. I don't know about you, but I'm glad Jesus is coming again. All right, then there's the Mifkad gate. I had to go look up what does this gate mean? The Mifkad gate talks about judgment, accountability, and gathering. I missed one. The Valley Gate. Actually, I looked that one up too. The Valley Gate, I looked this up, talks about the restoration of Jerusalem and the resilience of the Jewish people. I missed that, okay? So Mifkad Gate talks about judgment, accountability, and gathering. Okay, so those gates all speak of different aspects of the gospel. So there's reasons that we live. There was a reason that Nehemiah was rebuilding the city of Jerusalem, right? The wall. They rebuilt the temple and then they rebuilt the wall. The wall was their defense against the enemy, right? If you didn't have a wall, the enemies came in and they ran you over. So we got to keep first things first and remember why we're here. Remember the cause. First of all, we're here to, what are we to? We're to build, to feed the sheep. Secondly, we're to win the world to Jesus. And then all those other things come along with it. There's some other things we learn here in Nehemiah chapter 3. First one, remember the cause. Second one, join forces. Right? You can only do so much alone. Right? I am not, administration is not my gift. Chrissy's laughing because she's got a gift of administration and she helps me. And I don't administrate well, you know? What I do is I do everything I can do till I can't do anymore, and then I get somebody to help me. And I've told some of my helpers recently, I just can't do it anymore. I'm going to have to get some help. So praise the Lord. And this has happened. I used to do a lot of things I don't do. I still do a lot of stuff, right? I still accomplish a lot. But sometimes you need some help. And Nehemiah was accomplishing a great task, but he couldn't do it on his own. So together, everyone accomplishes more. That's team, T-E-A-M. So we join forces. Now, in verse 2, Nehemiah verse 2, we see the men of Jericho, right? So Jericho's down at a low place, right? And they're up at Jerusalem. So they came quite a ways to work there in Jerusalem on the city. Then in verse 8, we see goldsmiths and apothecaries came to work. Do you know what apothecaries are? Perfume makers. So he got business people involved, right? He got people from other areas involved. In verse 12, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem and his daughters went to work. So he got men and women to come together and work. So he got everybody he could working together. You know, some denominations don't believe that women can be in the ministry. It's amazing they've never read the Bible. You know, they haven't read the Bible. They're crazy. Amen? Over half the body of Christ is women. And you think God would eliminate over half of the body of Christ from working in the ministry? They're crazy. That, you know what? They have a very jaded view of some scriptures that they've taken completely out of context. So if you study the Bible, if you read the Bible, there was a prophetess in the Old Testament named Deborah, right? There were some apostles in Romans chapter 16, Andronicus and Junia. Junia was a woman. Okay, if a woman could be an apostle, a woman could be a pastor. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. Amen? Some people that, you know, if a woman's going to be a pastor, she needs to be under authority. Guess what? If a man's going to be a pastor, he needs to be under authority. We all need to have authority in our lives. And if you're going to operate in authority, you need authority in your life. And so there's different aspects, but some people misinterpret things. They don't understand the time, so on and so forth. We won't get into that. But Praise the Lord. He, this ruler of half part of Jerusalem and his daughters worked in rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. Then in verse 15, notice this. It says, but the gate of the fountain repaired Shalon, the son of Koza, the ruler of the half part of Mizpah. He built it, covered it, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Siloam by the king's garden and the stairs that go down to the city of David. Now, I noticed when I was reading about these gates, it talks about they set up the doors, they set up the locks, they set up the bars. Why? Because those gates, right, they were strength against the enemy's attack. So that's why they had to have bars and locks, because that's where the enemy would try to penetrate and attack them. So they built it strong to stand against the enemy. They were also, the gates were also where they did business in the city. So we see these different things. The ruler of the half part of Beth-Zur was working there. And then in verse 26, we have the Nethinims. Does anyone know who the Nethinims are? The Nethinims were a whole group of people that served the Levitical priesthood, the Levites. The Nethinims were a whole, basically, group of helps ministries. Guess what? If we didn't have helps ministry here at the church, we wouldn't get the work of the ministry done. We have over 300 volunteers that help us, amen, do what we do. It takes something, it just amazes me, even on a Wednesday night, it takes bunches of people just put on Wednesday night service with all the things that we're doing. You know, it takes 7 or 8 people just to run the live stream and the sound and all the stuff that goes with that. It takes quite a few people over in the children's church, quite a few people in the youth room. There's all these working parts. I don't even know what they are, but it's amazing sometimes, but it takes everybody. Did you know tonight I was amazed by the worship? I'll just be honest with Ben. Luna did a fantastic job leading worship tonight. And Ben has been so faithful. That ought to be Ben's middle name. Faithful. He ought to be Ben Faithful No Drama Luna. Boy, we can live with those kind of people in the church. He is a great young man, but he did a fantastic job leading tonight. And you know, he has really been growing into that gifting. And it's just so amazing to see what God's doing, raising up different people and developing them. Praise God. It's just beautiful. Amen. So I'm excited when I see those things. But Nethinims, they're servants of the priests, helps ministry. We need people working in every area. Praise God. It takes all these different people. Then in verse 28, the priests even helped. They even got the pastor to go to work. Quite a deal. From above the horse gate repaired the priests, everyone over against his own house. You know, Bob and Ronnie came and saw me at the other church, and I was working on the sprinkler system. She went home and told Bob, we might ought to go to that church. Is that true? Where a pastor works on the sprinkler system. Thank God I got some people help with the sprinkler system at this place. Amen. I still help a little bit with it, but I showed them what to do, and they fixed it all. I was so happy. Glory to God, it needed a lot of work. The merchants went to work. In verse 31, so all these different people went to work, joined forces. The business people, the priests, the servants, the rulers, men, women, people from different areas, they all came together for a common purpose, to build the city of God. Now, here's the third thing that I have. Number one, keep first things first. Remember the cause. Do you know what? We all need to remember there's a cause that we're working for that is greater than ourselves. The second thing, join forces. Get some help. Hallelujah. Get some, you know, together we can accomplish more than we can alone. But the third thing is someone is watching. Look at this in verse 5. Nehemiah chapter 3 in verse 5. It says, next to him the Tekoites repaired, but the nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. They noticed these guys. Them guys are slacking off. Now, I'll tell you something about Pastor Lawson. I don't like slackers. Amen? And if I'm around, even when people are volunteering, if I notice that they don't put their neck to the work of the Lord, that they're kind of slacking off. When it comes time to hire somebody for a job, I'm going to remember, because I don't want a slacker. Hallelujah. I like people that like to work. All right. Now, there's different ways to work. And as you grow, you got to figure out different people have different gifts. You know, as the church is growing, we have to get more people like Chrissy that have gifts in administration. More people that are good with people, because if you're not good with people, I'll stop right there. Okay, praise the Lord. But we need people that are administrative and work well with other people, because it helps us go farther and accomplish more. But we need all the people doing what God's called them to do. All right, now verse 20. Okay, in verse 5, it says the nobles did not put their necks to the work of the Lord. But in verse 20, it says Baruch, the son of Zabbai, earnestly repaired. He saw this guy. He goes to work early. He stays up late. They noticed that. You know, people know when you go to work early and stay up late. When I was a kid, I got a one-way on my granddad's farm. And my dad, I remember the first time I was 13 years old. I was a little old skinny kid, and we had a John Deere 3020. We had a half section. That's half mile wide and a mile long. And we were farming half of it. So we were farming a quarter mile of it, right by a mile long. And my dad got me out there whenever he got me going. And as soon as I could make four corners by myself, I turned it four times. He jumped off the tractor and he said, "Son, I'll be here at sundown to pick you up. Keep this thing going around the field." My dad hated that one way. It was a dirty, hot job. I mean, we didn't have a cab. We had a lot of dust and a lot of bugs, and it was hot. But I learned how to do that, and I'd go out really early. And we had this neighbor, and he had a guy that was like 60. I thought that was old then that worked for him. But one time I must have went out at 2 or 3 in the morning, because I was really trying to get my field done that day. And that guy, he came out like at 4:30, and he said, "I was trying to beat you, and I got there at 4:30 in the morning. You were out there going around the field." He said, "I thought I'll never beat this guy." Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You get things done when you go get up early. Amen. I think I told you about Mary Kay Ash. But it takes different people. Somebody's watching. The nobles didn't put their work, but Baruch earnestly repaired. The Bible says this in Colossians 3, verse 17. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him." Whatever we do. You know, if something's worth doing, it's worth doing good. Let's read some scriptures right here, and I'm almost done, but we'll read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through verse 8. "Servants, be obedient." This could be employees. "Be obedient to those who are your employers according to the flesh." He says, "With fear and trembling, respect them in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." You know, some people do a good job when the boss is watching, but when the boss isn't around, they're doing something else. He says, don't be like that. Amen? You know, people ought to say, those people at Caris Christian Center, they are the best employees that we've ever seen. They pay their bills on time, right? That they're great workers. They give you 110%. He says, do it like this. He says in verse 7, "With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he is" what? "Bond, a slave, or free." Or we could say employer or employee. See, because when you work and you work as unto the Lord, guess who is going to reward you? The Lord will reward you. And guess what? If he can't reward you one place, he'll reward you somewhere else. But you do your work as the Lord, and you keep a good attitude to the Lord, and God will see that you're promoted. You know, when I went to Bible school, I worked for Dr. Lester Sumrall. And I replaced about 3 people. I mean, I accomplished a lot. I got a lot done. And you know, in just a few months' time, they offered me a salaried position on staff with TV there. I said, I can't take it, because God called me to pastor. Amen. When I came here, I was starting out. We had almost no people, and we had almost no money. So I'd get up every day, and I'd pray, and I'd read my Bible. And then I made these flyers. I made them at Office Depot. They cost me 3.5 cents a piece to make. And it was cheaper than I could copy myself. But I got some tan paper, and I printed black ink on it. And I went out, and I went to 100 houses every day in my neighborhood, you know, all around the southwest part of the city where we were then. And I put flyers at 100 houses. And if people talk to me, I talk to them. If not, I put them on their houses. And I did that for 100 days. So I went to 10,000 houses. And one day I was out there. And there's this man drove up in a pickup, and he saw me, and I was just going from house to house putting flyers on. And he came up, and he said, hey, he said, do you want a job? And I'm like, well, that depends. And he said, on what? I said, whether I make it or not. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm starting a church. He looked at me, and he said, you're going to make it. And he just drove off. Because I was diligently applying myself to what God put in front of me. Amen? And if you'll be diligent and if you'll stay at it, amen, things will get better. It might not happen overnight, but it'll get better. Praise God. Good things happen when you go to work, all right? One of my best friends preached that. He recently went home to be with Jesus, Bob Nichols, from down in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. What a great man of God. But he said, good things happen when you keep going to work. Amen? I talked to Jimmy Alexander. Jimmy has traveled around the United States and the world preaching the gospel. He's pastored some pretty good churches and traveled a lot and preached at a lot of churches. But I told Jimmy, with all the challenges and difficulties we've had, it's been amazing how well we've done. And he said, this scripture in Hebrews 10, it says, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And he said that word of patience, he said, if you study it out, that word, one meaning of it is this, and I studied it out, preached a whole series on it, is consistency. And Jimmy told me, he said, you and Pastor Barber are two of the most consistent people that I've ever seen in my life. Amen? And so what do? When things are good, we're consistent. When things are a little rough, we're consistent. We just keep consistent, and we keep believing God. Amen? Hallelujah. So you keep working. Amen. Keep working for the Lord. Keep doing it for Jesus, and good things keep happening. There's one more scripture I want to share before I close tonight. It's in 2 Chronicles 31:21. It's talking about Hezekiah. I wrote this scripture on a yellow legal pad paper when I was a senior in high school, and I taped it to my bedroom wall. Amen. Talking about Hezekiah, this scripture ministered to me. It says, in every work that he began to do in service of the house of God with the law and the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart, and he prospered. Amen? I believe if in everything that we do to seek God, to obey his word, and to do what he calls us to do, I believe if we do it with all of our heart, amen, we will prosper. Amen? My conclusion is, who and what prospers when we serve with all of our heart? Who and what prospers when we serve with all of our heart? Did you know what? Not only does the purpose of God prosper, that's what prospers, but those who serve prosper. Amen? Because guess what? When you serve God, when you put God first, that's like a seed of your life that you're sowing into eternity. And it's not only the purpose of God that prospers, but when you serve God with all of your heart, not only will the purpose of God prosper, but you as the people of God will prosper. Amen? Did you get something good? All right, you're all a blessing. Let's all stand up. And right now, we're going to pray for everybody. I appreciate you coming to church tonight. And we had fun. And again, congratulations to Bob and Ronnie on 65 years. That's just amazing. Amen. If you need prayer, come up here and we'll appoint someone to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jesus. I thank you for this great church family, this great church body, and I thank you that you are ministering grace and peace to every person. I thank you, Father God, that as we apply ourselves to accomplish your purpose, not only will your purposes prosper in our hands, but we, the people of God, will prosper in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you guys. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.